So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 111. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show. I know I wasn't here, but it's all about L337. As always, I am Mikey B, joined by my co-host, Ben.
Howdy.
Hey, Ben.
What's up? I haven't talked to you in forever.
I know. I feel like it's been a while. Yeah, because you missed a couple episodes, and then I missed an episode. You know how it is.
Yeah, anyway, it goes.
If this is how it is. If you want to get involved in the conversation, guys, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast, or leave a comment on our Facebook page. Send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hyperbolga.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook, download, and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, or any other book. Now, I will say, it may be worth joining just to get the pre-order of the new Thrawn book, because that looks amazing. Thrawn and Darth Vader together? Looks good. Anyway, we've also launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Some perks include joining us in Discord chat, our recording studio, movie nights, and After Dark episodes. And we just recorded an After Dark episode that we're throwing up there probably today or tomorrow, so that's going to be kind of cool. If you can't afford to support us via Patreon, that's all right, guys. We understand. We do have merchandise available for sale on our website. T-shirts and button packs are available there. I think it's time for the news. So, yes. This week has been kind of a wild ride of Star Wars news. So, right now, the Star Wars story films are still in development. The story broke on Collider that a Lucasfilm, after the disappointment of Solo, A Star Wars Story in theaters, that they were going to go ahead and stop and backtrack production on any standalone origin movies. Based on the box office trend. And this was confirmed by multiple sources and stuff like that. But according to Hollywood Reporter, that came out, was it yesterday afternoon? Yeah, according to Hollywood Reporter, yeah, it was revealed on Friday, the production company hasn't slowed down development when it comes to any of the spin-off or Star Wars story films, but they plan to regroup and strategize on how to make sure future Star Wars entities don't flop like Solo did. And I'll be honest, as we look at it, Ben, I think we can argue that part of the flop for Solo was advertising, the marketing for it. But yeah, they definitely are kind of what they would say, regrouping, if you will. And actually, I'm happy with this, because if they simply regroup to work on any of these films, my guess is there's going to be some more connective tissue between all of it. Mm-hmm. So that, because we already see the connective tissue between all the original the sequel films, with a little bit that we see in the standalone films, with different things. Like a good example is in The Last Jedi, we had Luke hand Leia the dice that we see that play actually a very prominent role in Solo.
Right.
In Rogue One, we also see in the vault where they are looking for the Death Star plans, Tarkin's initiative to work on hyperspace tracking. Well, guess what? Since the First Order has all of the Empire's, data, guess what they can now do in Last Jedi? They can now do hyperspace tracking, something that wasn't done possible before. So there's lots of little things that are in there that are connective tissues between all the films that they've released so far. And we see this also with the movie, the books and the comics and the TV shows, how there's like connective tissue between all of it. A good example, again, spoiler alert for Solo, is the return of Maul in Solo. We saw Maul return in Clone Wars and in Rebels, so we know what his story is before and after Solo, but we don't know what happened in between that time frame where Solo takes place. So it just really helps flesh out stories of certain characters. So I'm glad that they're not canceling these films, because I think they're some of the most unique ones that we get to add to the Star Wars universe, if you will. And that they're just regrouping. So what do you think about this, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, we don't usually talk about sort of the business side of Star Wars here, but I think a lot of it has to do with money. All of it has to do with money, let's be real. And the lack of, I think, the fandom to go see Solo. We are, like, forming opinions maybe based off of not even seeing it, Because, I mean, I was one of those who said, like, I'm not going to form an opinion on Solo until I see it, because I know that if I do, I'm going to be really cynical towards it because it's the movie that none of us want, you know. But I went and saw it twice, and I enjoyed it both times, and I think, you know, there are, you know, I'm not going to say, like, it's obviously not the entire Star Wars fandom, but there's a loud part of the Star Wars fandom that's really bitter towards a lot of what Kathleen Kennedy's done so far, and it's beginning to actually hurt kind of, you know, the production of these movies.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if it's actually hurting. I feel like we see this all the time with different things, especially if you play video games where there's a big community, or anything where there's a big community. There are certain people that are that yell the loudest and make the biggest noise, whereas uh-huh. most of the people who actually are the ones that you that the majority of your base or whatever the base is, they kind of don't make that much noise. Cause like a good example is like, if anywhere you work, you always hear about people who complain about something, right? But you don't hear the amount of people that actually like it or had just a good experience. Mm-hmm. Unless it was like some exceptional thing. And so right. it's one of those things where, like, I agree, the fandom right now, it is very split on a lot of things with the way Last Jedi played out. And I think me and you were discussing earlier that we personally both think that The Last Jedi is probably one of the most important films in the Star Wars trilogies.
Mm-hmm, right.
Personally, it's one of my least favorite of the new films that have come out, because I just didn't like the way Luke Skywalker was portrayed. I understand why, and I agree how important it was for him to be portrayed that way, but he wasn't my Luke Skywalker. You know, he even had a beard, right. And I didn't like the beard. But that's,
you're not one of those people who's just going to run around being like, I'm going to boycott Last Jedi because I hate it, and Luke Skywalker is not what I want, you know.
And I get it.
Which is important.
And I get that. And like I said, a lot of people were, you know, a lot of people I've talked to, even at work, have kind of, since Solo has come out, so I'm like, you know, I didn't really like Last Jedi. They didn't tell me that when the movie came out. I think because they were worried I'd be like backlash at him or something like that. But like they're like, okay, I'm like, oh, I get that. You know, it's all right.
Yeah.
I'm like, but have you seen Solo? And they're like, no, I haven't. I'm like, you really need to see it. And like, I think I even mentioned it to you guys. I don't know if you talked about it on the show last week or anything, but I was at a Walgreens picking up, bottled water or something for my daughter's birthday.
Definitely what matters.
it was something, right? But like the checkout guy commented on my Star Wars shirt and told me he hated Last Jedi and was, you know, asked me what I thought about the new movie. I said, oh, I love Solo. It was great. I could have had a conversation with him, you know, because I love talking about Star Wars. And he's like, oh, I don't like it. I'm like, oh, what did you not like about it? It's like, well, I haven't seen it yet. I'm like, how can you not like something if you haven't seen it? It's kind of like, I feel like it's, you know, Rian Johnson calls some of these people man babies and stuff like that, but it kind of is, and the easiest way to explain it is like, think about when you have kids or you were a kid, you're like, oh, I don't like that. I don't want to try that. You know, your food wise, like, because you don't know what it is and you just don't like it. But if you try it, you might like it. You know, yeah. I think I had this really interesting experience because like my daughter just turned one, right? She just turned one. That's why I was off last week. And she had her birthday and she got to have cake for the first time. And when we put it in front of her, she was really apprehensive to even try it. I mean, like, she didn't, like, put her hand in and grab it. She didn't do anything. She was kind of like, what is this? Like, you guys never give me something this like this to put in front of me. So she didn't know what it was. And it was until my wife actually took a piece of the frosting, took it off, and handed it to her, like, put it towards her mouth, and she tried it, that, like, her eyes just completely, like, went wide. And, like, you don't understand. Like, both hands went in. It's all over the face afterwards. Like, she thought it was the best thing in the world after that. But beforehand, right. Like before she tried it, she was apprehensive and didn't know. And I feel like that's what happened is I feel like people didn't like something. And so they're not willing to continue and have an open mind about trying something else when it comes to Solo. Like right now, like I get Solo didn't have the best marketing because there's a lot of people that didn't know like, oh, is it out already? Is it not out? And we talked about it on the show with like Dano that the toy release for Solo was kind of a non-starter. Like it was supposed to be big. They called it Wookiee Weekends, but there was no advertising. Some of the stores didn't actually get the toys. Like it was just really kind of disappointing overall compared to like what we saw with Last Jedi, Force Awaken, or Rogue One, where they had these really big events, midnight events and stuff like that. Solo was just like, oh yeah, we were trying to get it done, but like we didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think also a lot of probably what the studio's saying in the sense of, like, you know, there's these rumors that the standalones were on hold and everything like that is because it's coming from a box office numbers perspective. And I think, I mean, Solo's a major disappointment compared to, I mean, like, it's like, at this point in Rogue One's run, it was, like, more than double of what Solo's made mm-hmm. so far, you know? Yeah. And so there's clearly this, like, disappointment of, like, oh, we figured we would make more money. And especially, I mean, like, this is not a Marvel podcast, but Marvel's doing something right, because their last, I mean, like, Avengers, you know, Black Panther, Spider-Man, Guardians 2, and whatever movie came out last, Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. Like, well, all super, super successful movies.
Thor Ragnarok didn't do great at the box office. It did okay, but it didn't do great.
Yeah. I mean, but it was still one of those that was, I think, talked about after as well. Like, it gained a fan base after it was in theaters. Because, like, I don't know. There's a ton of people who, like, and now that it's on Netflix, people are like, Thor's on Netflix. And I'm like, people weren't talking about this back in November, but okay. And I think it's because word of mouth spread, because people tried, again, the new Thor, because it was very different from the other ones, and then word spread that it was actually really good, but at that point it was out of theaters. So, you know, maybe there's a life for Solo on streaming and stuff like that, and they can prove that it can be successful. But I definitely think, because the Marvel fan base is much more open to going to see their movies, and also more forgiving of their movies, as, you know, clearly the lack of box office for Solo means that there's enough Star Wars fans who won't go see a movie that it can be, it can make Lucasfilm, well, kind of rethink what they're doing.
It's also one of those things where I have a bunch of friends that are parents, myself included, obviously. And for me, Star Wars always trumps anything and everything else, right? You know, movie wise, I'm going to see it no matter what. I'll figure out a way, babysitter, going on my own, whatever. But you have to remember, we had Infinity War, Solo, or Infinity War, Deadpool 2, Solo, then we had, was it Incredibles right after, the week after?
Incredibles just came out,
There's something else that came out afterwards. And then there's also, you know, Incredibles, and then there's Ant-Man and Wasp all coming out. Like, it's packed in between the summer, you know, blockbusters.
Disney's like the victim of their own successes to this point, because, like, most of those movies, like, you just said were Disney movies.
Well, that's the problem, is, like, they are. And I just had a friend say, hey, I was trying to see Solo this weekend, but my kids were with me, and I asked them, did you want to see Star Wars Solo, or did you want to see Incredibles? Well, the kids chose Incredibles, because, like, they're happy to see Incredibles, too, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, it's okay. Yeah. But just to put it in perspective, number-wise, when you compare, like, Solo to Rogue One, so far Solo's been out for 28 days. It's made $198 million, which is still a good number, especially for a movie released when it was. Again, it's like number 9 on the Memorial Day weekend charge for opening day, so it didn't do horrible. It just didn't do great. And Rogue One, in the 28 days, did $485 million total. So, like, you know, it's less than half the amount of money it's brought in. And again, that's just domestic.
And also, regardless of what that actually means, I mean, numbers matter to the suits, right? So, like, that's a red flag for Hollywood.
Yeah, that is a huge red flag. And you also have to remember, too, like, Solo also had a ridiculous budget, and they still haven't announced what it was, because the film was essentially shot twice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
on Kathleen Kennedy, though, because I can see how many people, I know many people who are like, where's the Phil or Chris Miller version of Solo, because that's the one we wanted to see, because there were hints of that. Like, I could tell which parts of the movie were definitely, like, they're doing.
Really? Because only about 10% of the movie was
they're doing. I could tell you, I think I could tell you what 10%. It's, like, specific snarky lines, or, like, things that were clearly not cast in Howard ideas. You know, I remember early on in the shoot, they were talking about how they're letting people improvise. Like, I kind of can sense that in certain scenes. You know, like, for example, this is the first one that comes to mind, but, like, when they're, like, doing the Kessel Run and Beckett's, like, you know, in the cockpit, like, shooting things, and then he goes, like, you know, everything's okay or whatever. And he's like, but I really hurt my thumbs. I'm like, that was more of a Woody Harrelson line than a Beckett line. And I feel like they kept it in because, like, it was improvised and it was, like, funny. And I liked it, but it definitely felt out of place. And there were a couple of those throughout the movie that I was like, that's probably something they kept in from the first shoot.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Like I said, I don't know exactly what they kept, what they didn't keep, but we'll have to take a look at it when it comes out on the Blu-ray and stuff like that. Honestly, I don't... From what I understood about the, you know, the two different films is that they just... Kathleen Kennedy just did not like it, and that's why she gave him the axe, because it was too slapstick. And don't get me wrong, like, I love their previous work on Lego Movie and stuff like that, but for Solo, like, I think it had the right tone overall.
Yeah, anyway. I don't think Ron Howard did a bad job at all, but I think... the director swap, I think, again, especially because after Rogue One had a director issue, you know, and then also Episode 9 had a full-out swap. Of course, we haven't even seen it yet. You know, people are also being like, well, if that happened, and because Kathleen Kennedy didn't trust him.
The Josh Trank Boba Fett movie that was announced.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I think those all happening, and then, you know, then, but then she backs Rian Johnson writing and directing the movie that arguably split the fandom in two. They're like, well, then who the heck does Kathleen Kennedy trust? Like, should we trust her? Like, that's, I think, where all this stuff started coming in, and people probably were like, well, then what's the point in seeing Solo at this point? You know, it's not even about kind of Star Wars anymore. It's more about, like, who's handling Star Wars and should we trust them? And how do we voice our distrust? Well, we don't go see the movie, you know? I mean, it makes sense. All of it makes sense. I don't necessarily agree with, like, the way it's being handled by the fans, but I definitely think it's understandable as to why it's happening.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. Like, it's definitely an interesting segment of the fandom right now. Anyway, moving on. Billy Dee's son tries to address rumors of Lando in Episode 9.
Yay, which is definitely happening.
maybe, maybe not. So here's the thing, is Corey D. Williams has posted two different tweets. One was deleted and one wasn't. The one that wasn't, the official one that he has, is, do not ask me about Lando rumors, ... I can neither deny or confirm anything. I am clueless, so speculate as you will, period. Seriously. He replaced the word seriously. The word seriously is what's there now. It used to be LOL at the end. And, you know, fans took this as like, oh, he knows something, you know, going on, which essentially, if he knows something, that means it confirms that Lando's kind of in there, you know, in the movie.
Yeah.
So those types of things, you know what I mean? Like, to speculate as you will. Like, here's the thing is, like, having any type of comment saying it can confirm or deny is a comment. You know, if you have any type of, you know, PR training like that, you obviously know, like, saying no comment is a comment. You just don't say anything so they can't quote you for saying a comment. Yeah. Now, I will say this. There is multiple sources that have reported that Billy Dee Williams has started to work out with has changed his diet and began working out regularly, causing many fans to speculate he'll be preparing for a role in the upcoming sequel. It's been confirmed, and his trainer is a trainer who was previously with one of the other stars for Star Wars. So that makes it feel like, hey, you know, it's maybe he'll make his way back. I will say this, it would be a reason to have him back, especially with the death of Luke Skywalker and Han Solo on film and the real life passing of Carrie Fisher. This would be a character that fans would be happy to have, not only to connect the original trilogy to the sequel again, but also to connect the Solo film to this. So it'd be fun to have him in there.
I really think it'd be a great decision. And I don't put it past JJ also, because, like, he definitely knows what fans want.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's to give them one thing, I feel like it would be Lando coming back. Mainly, I mean, it would be fantastic. And I could see it happening only because I think I've speculated this on the show before. But I'm like, the way, you know, of course, we're not going to have some sort of digital Leia or anything like that. I'm like, if they have a time jump and it's like 5 years later and the Resistance is led by like Poe and Rey or something, you know, start off the movie with the heroes, like, you know, sending off Leia, you know, just because, you know, she was old and passed away or something, you know. I think they could do that tastefully and well. And then the movie kind of starts there as this sort of like, okay, you know, we're like respecting and remembering the old, and then we're moving on into the new. But then, you know, Lando can come out of nowhere at some point, like in the first act of the movie, and just be like, guess what?
Lando could be there at Leia's funeral, you know, like
that too. Yeah, exactly. That's totally possible. And I think it would be awesome because, like, again, I loved Lando in Return of the Jedi, and we haven't seen his character as far as chronologically since then in the movies. So I would love to have him come back and, like, I don't know, just fight with Chewie as to who gets to sit in the front of the Falcon next to Rey or something. You know, just something funny like that. Like, would be great.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't need to be a big role, just have him in it, you know?
I would agree. I think it would be fun just to have him in it and be there as even an homage to that, to, you know, the original fit trilogy and to the Solo film, just tie it all together. But we'll have to wait and see.
It'd be funny if he could mispronounce Rey's name, just like Han.
Yeah, Han.
I was like, hey, Rey.
I'll say this. I will say, I'm excited to see what happens. We'll know in about a month when episode 9 starts filming, because they'll release that information, you know, who's actually in the film and whatnot as the filming starts. Anyway, we just have two more things in news real quick. Steam Summer Sale is back on, so right now get all your favorite Star Wars classic video games for dirt cheap. It's bad, like 60% off certain games. So some games are as cheap as like $1.99, other games $2.99, or you could buy like a bundle of all of them for like $30. And these games include some amazing titles like Star Wars, The Knights of the Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic 2, Empire at War, all the Lego Star Wars, the Force Unleashed 1 and 2, the classic Battlefront 2 from 2005. And then actually two games I'm extremely excited about that they added this year is Rebel Assault 1 and Rebel Assault 2. I love the Rebel Assault series. Like, I mean, like, I grew up playing that, like, on my computer. You know, it was a Pentium 1 computer and stuff like that. Like, I loved Rebel Assault. It was amazing to the point where, like, I remember being Rookie One. You're essentially Luke Skywalker's character, but you weren't Luke Skywalker, if that made sense. You were Rookie One. And it was great. It was so much fun. So, yeah, so I picked those two up. But check those out. Steam is for both Mac and PC. Some of the games will work on either computer. Some are only PC. But definitely check it out. They're on sale. Have you played any of these Star Wars games, Ben?
So I was a huge Lego Star Wars person growing up. That was like the number one Star Wars game. I played Clone Wars, the GameCube one. And then I think Force Unleashed 2. And there's got to be one other. My friend had the classic Battlefront 2, which I played while I was at his house, but I never owned it. So, yes. But Lego Star Wars is where I am. And I'm looking at the prices right now, and it's really funny because, like, they've got the Complete Saga, which is one of my favorite games. But also, Lego Star Wars Force Awakens is, like, $10.19. But the Lego Star Wars Force Awakens Deluxe Edition is $9.99. So it's like, well.
Yeah, you kind of have to look at some of the things because, like, right now, some things are. It's definitely one of those things where some things are not always, like, just because it's on sale doesn't mean everything got sale applied the same way. Yeah. If that makes sense. Double check as you buy it. And also double check, like, I remember once I was like, oh, buying the 2-pack of a set of games. I think it was like Borderlands I purchased once during the Steam sale. If you bought both of them together, you're paying like $20. Whereas if you bought them separately, you ended up paying like $10 total. They were like individually on sale for different prices. So just like double check like the deluxe versus not deluxe stuff. But like just to give an example, pulling up Rebel Assault right now. Star Wars Rebel Assault is on sale for, if I can find it. I can't apparently. But I know like I just looked at Knights of the Old Republic. That's on sale for $3, $3.99. And let's see which ones I do not own. There it is. I bought that one already. X-Wing Alliance is only $3.99, along with all the X-Wing and TIE Fighter simulators. Star Wars Rogue Squadron. Oh, that's awesome. See, here's where it is. Rebel Assault 1 and 2. Oh, you get to buy both of them for $3.99.
Wow.
Oh, man. Nice. Yeah, that's what I paid. $3.99 for both of them. It's pretty awesome. And like I said, buy the complete 13 of 24 items.
This looks like it's not just Star Wars, though. It's LucasArts. Like, there's Monkey Island and Indiana
Jones. Oh, yeah. Well, right now, it's the Steam Summer Sale, so all of Steam's video games are on sale. Like, all their games are on sale. Oh,
got you. Okay.
Not just, like, some games, but all their games are on sale. But, yeah, it is definitely something where if you want to waste time and just play a bunch of video games, right now, the Steam Summer Sale is on, and all the Star Wars classic games are there. So yeah, definitely feel free to check that out if you feel the need to play, you know, these games and just waste your life. But man, I'm gonna spend so much time playing these games again. I'll be like, all right, yeah. All right, anyway. Moving on, summer sales there, cool, check it out. The last bit is we learned 5 new things about Galaxy's Edge from Star Wars Galactic Knights. I have friends that went, and there's also a great article on StarWars.com. But some really cool things that we know about the park in Orlando and California, which is kind of cool. So we know for a fact that not only is the Millennium Falcon going to be a huge Star Wars vehicle that we'll see, but there's going to be 2 AT-ATs that we will see. And we kind of thought we saw them in the kind of early stuff production here while it was building, that we thought they would be AT-ATs. But yes, there will be 2 AT-ATs that will be walking, or probably not walking, but be statues that will be inside the park.
They'll be walking throughout the park. That's
yeah, just like, oh, man, that'd be so cool. But yeah, so 2 AT-ATs that would be there. And that's pretty cool. They're being a, yeah, so that's kind of ridiculously awesome. I'm just excited to see that. Also, transports. So one of the really cool things is obviously there's vehicles in the Star Wars universe, Star Wars land speeders and stuff like that. And there's, you know, there's cars and stuff that move around the parks to transport people. Like, if you ever went to Mickey's Toontown in Disneyland or any of the, you know, parks, there's trolleys and different things that they have on Main Street and stuff to help you get from point A to point B. It's not really a ride, but it is something that, you know, people use just to kind of help build the ambiance, if you will. Like, I love seeing the horse-drawn carriages on Main Street at Disneyland and Disney World. But they are actually introducing the resistant transport. So there will be transports that you are used to seeing in the Star Wars universe in movies and in the cartoons driving around Star Wars land. Transporting you, maybe? What do you think about that?
I mean, that'd be awesome.
That's kind of cool. Get on the resistance transport that we saw like in Last Jedi and Force Awakens. This next one I'm really excited about is Lothcats are coming to our galaxy. So production designer Doug Chang, who worked on everything from the prequels to Clone Wars and Rebels and the new films, he is working with artists to create physical representations of some of the Star Wars creatures that we know, many of which we've actually only seen in the animated series because of just how they are. So there is going to be, the most exciting part is they're going to create a essentially like a petting zoo type thing, if you will, with these creatures. So you'll get to see a creature pen is being built to allow for the illusion of lifelike encounter with Star Wars wildlife. I'm excited because not only are we going to get these new things like Lothcats, but probably see real life porgs.
I was just about to say that. I was like, I want to pet a real life porg.
Yeah, that's kind of when it's cool. And then we know a little bit more about the story, if you will, about where Galaxy's Edge takes place. We learned that it is a town on the planet Batu at the edge of the galaxy, a known galaxy, if you will. Specifically, we'll be exploring a place called Black Spire Outpost. The really cool thing about Black Spire Outpost is it was also mentioned by L337 in Star Wars, a Solo story. So
wait, we can't Solo really a Star Wars story.
Sorry, yeah, Solo a Star Wars story. Yes. Solo a Star. You got it.
But yeah, I think so Star Wars a Solo story is called A New Hope.
There it is. There it is. Yeah. A single film. Yeah.
There we go.
And the really cool thing is they'll have new characters returning to the parks / to this outpost with familiar faces like Nine Nub, who we saw in Return of the Jedi as co-pilot of the Millennium Falcon with Lando. We also see him in Force Awakens and in Last Jedi as one of the pilots as part of a Black Squadron with Poe. So he's one of the pilots there. And we also have Hondo Ohnaka coming back from Clone Wars and Rebels. Because it makes sense that Hondo would be at this outpost at the edge of the galaxy looking to make a quick buck somewhere. So I'm kind of excited to see these characters throughout the park. Like, we haven't really seen Hondo, like, other than in the animated series. So to see, like, a real-life version of him, I'm actually really excited to see what they're going to do, because he's an awesome alien creature. He's a Weequay. And I don't think we've seen a Weequay on screen before. So I'm kind of excited to see how, like, the animated stylized versions of him from Clone Wars or Rebels makes its way to, like, a real-life version. So, the park is looking kind of awesome. If you are planning a Disney trip, I would definitely suggest probably holding off until summer 2019 to Disneyland or fall 2019 to Disney World, just because it's, you know, you want to include the Star Wars stuff because it looks awesome. So,
I just want to hug an Ewok. Is that too much?
Ooh, yeah, an Ewok. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure we'll see an Ewok. You know, in the latest, so spoiler alert, if you read the Star Wars books, last shot, the Lando and Han Solo book, there's an Ewok in it. And this Ewok is awesome. She may or may not have a crush on Chewbacca. That's all I'm going to say.
Aww.
It's definitely worth reading to find out more. But yeah, that's all I'll say about it. But I thought it was really cool that they included an Ewok. And they also included a Gungan, too, but not making fun of Jar Jar Binks.
But I mean, let's be real, who wants to meet a Gungan?
Well, and actually, you know, it's really funny in that book where he takes offense to, like, Han's like, I got this, Misa, Han Solo. Gungan's like, wait a minute. What's with all this Misa stuff? How many Gungans have you met in real life? Like, just, like, totally goes off on him just because of Jar Jar Binks. So I thought it was really funny. But yeah, it's definitely worth reading that book if you haven't. And I know it's a good audiobook to listen to, too. Anyway, guys, it is time for our spotlight topic. And I want to talk a little bit about L337, just because I love the portrayal of L337, not only for droid rights, but what ended up happening to the character in the end.
This is going
to
be a good topic because I disagree with everything you just said.
Really? Okay.
Everything you just said was wrong.
All right. Well, why don't you start us off, Ben? Tell me what.
Oh,
tell me what your opinions of L3, how she, you know, was portrayed in the film.
So the character of L3. I mean, like, I remember listening to you guys because I missed this episode when the initial kind of reaction to Solo. But after seeing it a second, because the first time I saw it, I was like, I don't know about this whole like the droid rights thing, only because like it's a little too heavy-handed, but also the fact that, like, I think there's a big difference in at least sci-fi the way we've seen droids and AI defined, and droids are very much like you're a robot, and I think they're kind of within the universe kind of designed and supposed to be that way. And they're supposed to, you know, like R2-D2 is really snarky, kind of like L3 and stuff like that. Like, it's funny, and I think it's funny because they're robots, not because they're AIs and, like, it's like, ooh, are they sentient or not? And to me, what had always made droids funny was the fact that they're not supposed to have sarcasm, but they do. And it's just funny that the character trope they decided to give the snark, you know, funny character to was, like, the droid or the two droid, you know, like C-3PO and R2-D2 would be two droids. And so in this movie going in, I was kind of like, it's kind of like going over the top now, and I'm not sure I really enjoy it. The second time I saw Solo, though, every time L3 says almost anything, Lando kind of rolls his eyes or, like, dismisses whatever, you know, whatever is said and stuff like that, and in a sort of, like, okay, this droid is going over the top with whatever programming, but, like, I can't change it because the map is kind of inside of her head or whatever. So that made it a little easier for me to understand that, like, okay, even the characters in the movie are like, oh, this is, like, a droid still who, you know, is being snarky and it's kind of annoying, but, like, I guess I just have to deal with it. So it was a little better in that sense when I saw it the second time where, like, it wasn't just me. It was Lando, too.
So. Well, you know what's really funny is I kind of agree with you, and I don't at the same time, because L3 is a unique droid. Real quick. So I also read the Last Shot book, which also reveals some of L3 and Lando's interactions before we see her in Solo. All right.
Right.
So the interesting thing about L3 is L3 claims to be completely custom self-made. Right.
Right.
But at the same time, I think Lando helped put her together a little bit. And, you know, he just lets her kind of have the delusions of grandeur that she built herself from scratch. Which does sure. bring up the ethical question is, if a droid is self-aware, right? Self-cognizant, like, should we treat them differently? Because we've talked about this before on other episodes, like, BB-8, R2, C-3PO are treated by the good guys in our films as like one of them. Like they're treated not necessarily equal, but they're treated like on par, like conversations, and like they care about them, right?
Right.
Whereas like all the Empire droids and everything, like they're just treated as droids. Like you're a robot. Like they treat, like I think I equated it to,
right,
would you treat your iPhone any different than, you know, Brack right now just commented in our Discord chat, they're tools. Like, you know, that's exactly what they are. So, and that's right. what they're seen well, as.
Because, like, we've seen, like, you know, Leia has no hesitation in just turning C-3PO off when he's annoying, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is so, like, we even see some of that from our heroes, but they do treat the droids more like, you know, like pets, if you will. Like, you know,
yeah.
a dog, cat. Like, you have an affection to them, right? Like, think of yeah. Poe and BB-8. Oh, buddy! Like, It literally, yeah. it's like him, he's greeting a dog and he's petting.
But even that, you know, I mean, like this, neck. I mean, if we step back just a little more and like see like, okay, what is Star Wars as a whole trying to do? It's like taking, you know, character tropes and saying in a universe that is, you know, this galaxy, what is a droid like BB-8? BB-8's just his dog, right? But like, it's a galaxy far, far away, so let's make him a droid. But like, we wouldn't make, you know, kind of an argument to say like, dogs are humans too. It's just like, dogs are dogs, and we love them, and we don't want to hurt them or anything, but, like, they're still dogs, you know? So,
yeah.
The sort of, like, what character trope is each droid in the universe kind of taking as far as, like, a storytelling standpoint? And I think, what in like, talking about something like L3 and, like, you know, droid rights and all that stuff, it kind of, like, it's not able to, you know, step out of the movie and say, like, okay, what, you know, character trope is this? It's sort of like people are stepping into it saying, like, oh my gosh, droid rights. Like, yeah, are they sentient? Should we care about this? I'm like, it's a fictional story. I don't think so.
Like, well, that's where I was coming saying, like, you feel it. About it. But, like, I mean, like, in the yeah. universe, like, she cares about droid rights.
Sure.
Because, you know, she has her own, you know, she beats her own drum, if you will. Yeah. The interesting thing about L3 is the only time we have her saying that she's a one-of-a-kind droid assembled and proving herself with scraps of other droids is from an Entertainment Weekly interview with the actress, was it Phoebe Waller?
Phoebe
Waller-Bridge. Yeah. Bridge, yeah, Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Yeah. So the only time is during that Entertainment Weekly is what Phoebe Waller-Bridge says about L3. And I think that's how they were supposed to, how she was supposed to portray her. But sure. when you think of L3, like, she didn't just magically put, you know, she does have a astromech droid brain in her head, but she's also pieced together by multiple other droids. You know, and you get more like from, she also has an espionage droid in her, part of it in her head. One of the spy droids that we see like in the, in the Clone Wars series, or actually it's Rebels. So it's one of those things. So we definitely see some different, you know, different personalities emerge from her because of these kind of hodgepodge of different parts and things put together. But I wouldn't put it past Lando being the one who helped put her together, especially when you consider what Lando does in his later years. You know, at Cloud City, he mines Tabana glass and he makes droids. Like, that's what
yeah.
he kind of does. So, like, he obviously had some droid mechanical know-how. And so he puts things together. So I feel like he put her, you know, kind of cobbled her together to be his, you know, his R2-D2, if you will, like his astromech in, you know, on the Falcon. And, you know, just she turned into this really interesting personality person who kind of gets her own, you know, personality, believes Lando loves her. And, you know, in a way, maybe he does love her, or love the droid like you would expect with like a Luke and R2 and stuff like that. So that's kind of where L3 is. She is a hodgepodge of different droids, but she does self-repair herself and kind of make things, you know, different. Now, right. I will say this. She is Lando's co-pilot. And the easiest way to understand it is think of her as like a BB-8 or R2, because she does have an astromech droid brain, an R3 unit droid brain. And actually, if you look at the top of her head, if you look in any pictures, it's even rounded and domed, kind of like the astromechs that we're used to.
Right.
So it you can see that physically in her. Unlike a K2SO that we saw in Rogue One, the head is very different, and it has the same kind of ocular sensor that you see BB-8 or R2 have. Mm-hmm. So that's what she is. So she is, first and foremost, a co-pilot. She is the navigator to Lando on this ship. And Lando claims that she has the best maps in the galaxy. I would argue that maybe R2 has the best maps in the galaxy, because we learn that if a droid is not wiped, if the droid's memory isn't wiped, they obviously can contain more and more information, but they also pick up more and more unique personalities. I think that's why the argument R2 is so unique, because his mind hasn't been wiped since before the Clone Wars. You know, So he, and I think George Lucas has even said that, you know, he wants the trilogy to be, you know, it's being told by these droids. So, like, you know, in the end, this is a story being told by R2-D2, who's never had his memory wiped. But that also brings into R2's personality, and I think that's the same with L3 and her personality, is her memory has never been wiped, and that's why she has some of the best maps in the galaxy. But it also has brought unique personality changes to this droid, if you will. What do you think about that? Like, best maps in the galaxy. Does she have them? Is it because her memory's never been wiped? Or is she some special droid?
Maybe at that time. I mean, Lando had never met R2 at that point.
That's true.
But, you know, I mean, we know that in Force Awakens, which is many, many years later, R2-D2 has, like, the rest of the actual map to Luke Skywalker, which I would arguably say that is the most important map in the galaxy at that point in time. But... Mm-hmm. As far as, like, yeah, like, readouts and stuff like that, it makes sense, because, like, Lando's totally the type of person who'd be like, I can maneuver the galaxy better than anyone else, you know? Like, Han's that type of person, too. I think that's why they're kind of sort of frenemies.
Yeah. I'll agree with you then. They kind of make that argument. And I think this also goes into, see, like, what was, before we get into, like, the droid uprising and having a mind of her own and stuff, this also kind of talks about what happened to her. And I know you said you disagreed. So, when L3 is destroyed, she becomes part of the Falcon. And I think, I personally think this is a great fitting for it, because it also makes the Falcon as a character kind of has L3 live on. Right. In the sense that now we know why the Falcon is so stubborn and kind of, you know, just stubborn and cantankerous and doesn't always work and eventually does, because it's L3's personality. And it also comments to, like, back to A New Hope, where when C-3PO talks to him, says, sir, I don't know who programmed your I'm trying to look for the exact quote, but it's along the lines.
This is an Empire, right?
It's an Empire. Oh, yeah, it's Empire, when they're repairing the ship. I don't know who taught your ship to communicate, but it is, you know, the most peculiar for, you know, conversation. Like, it's one of those things where it makes that line really be like, oh, it's because C-3PO is talking to L3. Who is telling C-3PO that he's a tool for just following the orders of Han and Leia and, droid. Like, it makes the whole idea of droid rights and Empire Strikes Back just be like, makes more sense.
Right.
Does that make sense?
And I definitely think it does. I think it was just really, like, a personal thing. Like, I wasn't crazy about L3, and then I was like, oh no, she's part of the Falcon forever. Like, it kind of ruined the Falcon for me in a way. Like, I get it, and it makes sense. But I think just as a person who didn't really attach to L3 as a character very much, it was like, aww. But, like, you know, it's not, like, good or bad. It's just one of those things that I was, like, not crazy about decision-making-wise. But like you just said, I mean, I didn't even think about the fact that, you know, the Falcon being finicky is definitely part of the fact that it's her brain.
Yeah,
you know?
So C-3PO in Empire Strikes Back, I pulled up, describes the Falcon's computer as having odd dialect. Which is definitely, you know, and that's kind of what that, you know, L3 is. But here's the thing is, so, like, when you look at it, like, I love that L3 when she passed, became part of the Falcon, and that kind of gives the character of the Falcon it's a whole new kind of light to like look at the original films in. And I think it's just really fun because that also like even ties into the new trilogy because L3 is still there in the Falcon because the Falcon's still around.
Right.
And you're not going to wipe maps from a ship if you have it. But, you know, that's kind of where that is there. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, having a mind of her own, is it programming or advanced AI? This is something you put in, Ben. So tell me what you think about this.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to say that it's programming just as a Star Wars viewer, just like as a fan of the films, like, because, I don't know, advanced AI is, first of all, something we've never seen in a Star Wars movie before, because the droids are very much droids, and that's what makes them cool, you know? Their charm comes from the fact that they are programmed things that just you can talk to as well, you know? And it's what makes them funny, it's what makes them, you know, I guess, like, fun to see on screen with, like, the human characters. And I think the more they start blurring the line between whether or not a droid is, like, closer to a human than a robot, they begin to lose what makes them really fun. So I'm analyzing it from just a character perspective of, like, in my Star Wars movie, I want my droid to be a droid, not, like, a droid who thinks they're a person. Because there's already people in the movie. Like, I want a droid in the movie, too. And so that's where my argument came from. And I think L3's character kind of really was pushing to kind of step over the line, but then upon, like I said, upon seeing it the second time, how Lando was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this droid is, like, saying these things. Like, he kind of represents the audience at that point, if they're on kind of my footing of, oh gosh, this droid is way over the top, you know? So that's really where I came in with that argument, but, and that's why I wrote it down, so.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, for me, it's interesting. Like, you have to remember, like, I think there's a form of artificial intelligence in all the droids that we see in Star Wars, like, because they do have independent actions.
Right.
But there is a sense of programming.
Yes.
And I think a lot of droids, and I think, you know, it's kind of like, anytime you get into, like, this AI debate, like, everything from Terminator comes up to, like, you know, iRobot and everything that comes down to, like, the rules of AI, I think those are all there. And I think I have a unique perspective because, again, reading Last Shot, there is a tool called the Phylinx. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Again, I only see it in text. That actually breaks the default programming of, like, it hijacks the programming of a droid, which is not supposed to be able to be done. Like, you can wipe their memory, but, like, the core commands of their programming can be hijacked. Specifically, a protocol droid that Lando has was hijacked to attempt to murder him.
Right.
And so it's one of those things where, like, that is not something that a droid's supposed to be able to do, unless they're an assassin droid and stuff. You know, so obviously, like, there's tools that are. I think describing a droid as a tool is perfect because there are certain things, rules that make tools do certain things. Like, you can't screw in a nail with a hammer, but you also can't hammer something with a screwdriver. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of can, but you can't really. It doesn't always work that way. So I think the rules dictate it, but I think there's definitely some AI, like artificial intelligence, where they can think and kind of do things on their own. And I think that's also where they get their own personalities. Like, we see that in BB-8 and R2 and L3 and AP-5 and Chopper, like, and all those droids that we see, they definitely have their own personality.
Right.
But that's also a symptom of programming. I think the easiest way to describe it is like the ghost in the machine. Like, as bits and data get corrupted and mismatched, like, it also comes out in different ways and different things, whether it be a device stops working or a device now has a unique perspective and a unique personality. And I think they've even addressed R2-D2's, or not R2-D2, C-3PO's annoying because his humble module, I think they mentioned in the Last Jedi or the Force Awakens novelization, his humble module must be malfunctioning again. That's why he's always so over the top and stuff like that, which is interesting.
Right.
But yeah, so it's definitely something that's tied to programming. But with her, you know, it's one of those things where I think L3 is just a droid that has some type of self-awareness, whether it's completely sentient or not. You know, I can't argue with that because we don't have any definitive right. information. But I think she's self-aware to the point where she wants to be treated equal. She maybe deep down she wants to be more like, when you talk about cares about droid rights, she wants to be, you know, she's like a person. She's learned enough to be like her own person, and Lando does treat her as an equal almost. You know, yeah, like,
and the way I read it was like, I didn't see it as like a sentient kind of thing. I saw it as, like, and this is based off of Lando's reactions to her, because he knows her better than anyone else. The fact that he was still kind of dismissive of all those comments she would always make about, like, you know, kind of doing her own thing, or you know, she makes a comment in the movie, like, you know, like calls the humans in the story like organic beings or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. And Lando's always really dismissive of that, which makes me think that, like, he knows that it's some sort of programming malfunction, but he just kind of deals with it.
Yeah, and I think he doesn't want to. Yeah, I think he kind of deals with it because he just enjoys the conversation and, like, the personality that's emerged right. from it. Does exactly. that make sense?
So, because if it were sentient and they would introduce that into Star Wars, don't you think he would treat her differently? Like,
oh yeah, I think he would too.
Yeah, and so that's really where my argument kind of comes from. Of just like, I think she's still just a droid. It's just when she malfunctions, it comes out as like free all the droids kind of, you know, attitude and stuff, which is really, I think it's funny. I enjoyed all the like one-liners she had and stuff like that. You know, I definitely laughed at stuff she had, but I just think it was a little too over the top the first time I saw it. The second time I saw it, when I saw what they were doing with it, it was less like I was fine with it. But
yeah, well, I'll say this, her idea of droid rights is definitely not something new to Star Wars universe. We saw this in Star Wars The Old Republic, the video game, which is not considered canon, but it is something that they touched on at one point in time. So it is one of those things where, like, the idea of droid rights and a revolution of droids, has been there because, you know, is there a sentient part of droids? And I mm-hmm. think her taking off, I think it's interesting. Like, I think it is more symbolism than anything else. Especially when you think that, like, she took over on Kessel, and what she did was to be able to get the droid to move, was she removed the restraining bolt. And I think if you want to compare that to anything, that's like removing the shackles for someone to be free to be able to do something. Yeah. Even though the droid itself was not sentient and not really appreciate being free, but yeah. like, they were more like, okay, I don't have to do the task that I was told right now.
Yeah. Well, then also, I mean, like, once you remove the bolt, the droid, yeah, like you just said, like, the droid is like, okay, well, then what do I do now? It still wants to follow orders, but it just follows L3's orders instead of...
That's exactly, you know, it. Instead of the orders of what was given to it before. Yeah. You know, and that's kind of what it does. And she literally yeah. tells the droid revolution right then and there. It's like, here, yeah. remove the rest of the restraining bolts from everyone else. You're free. Riot, like...
Yeah, revolution. And I thought that was hilarious, just because of the fact that none of these droids know exactly what they're doing. They're just following her orders now instead of the others, and it's just hilarious that the droids are like, oh, Riot? Oh, okay, alright, yeah, well, Riot. Like, that's kind of how I saw it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, trying to tie it too much, I think defeats what Star Wars is. Star Wars is escapism. It's a fun yeah. movie and exactly. everything. You know, I'm sure Danya may disagree with some of what we said here, but I think it's fun that L3 is this kind of unique character that is both a feminist in a way, but at the same time, you know, a feminist being the female character and the rights for her type, but then also, like, when you see it as droids, but at the same time, it's meant to be just fun. Does that make sense? Like, it's
yeah, kind no, of totally. Interesting. I think, you know, just in a way, like, L3, yeah, I agree with what you just said. I think, going into the movie, as far as just, like, when I think of, you know, when I walk away from Solo and I think, like, you know, which, I guess, like, female character do I think was, like, strongest and kind of, in the movie, I think would be, like, the one who I think represents, like, what Leia was doing for the original Star Wars, right? I would actually argue Kira over L3 just because, I really enjoyed her character because it was, like, a classic character, but also unexpected in a lot of ways. Whereas, like, L3, like you said, was kind of humorous, comic relief, all this kind of stuff. So, like, because of the nature of what that is, you can't take the character as seriously.
Yeah. I think that's what sums up L3 in the end is.
Yeah.
The character is meant to be a lot of the comic relief.
Yeah.
So that you, it's hard to take it everything she does 100% seriously.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it does bring up some interesting, I would say shower thoughts and things to think about with it. But beyond L3, is there anything else you want to mention? Because we did jump ahead and different things around it, but we talked about what happened to L3 and the Falcon. I would love some reference to hap up in like the ending sequels or something like that, where L3 comments that, you know, to R2 or something like that, a conversation that they have that C-3PO like paraphrases for us. Because when we talked about, you know, L3 having the best maps in the galaxy, R2 has connected to L3, so R2 has those maps, and R2 has also connected to the Death Star, which also had the maps of that was to Luke Skywalker. So I feel like R2, and I guess L3 now, because if R2 had those maps, I'm sure L3 received some of them too, maybe, like if he shared that knowledge or not. But it's one of those things where I'm sure they have probably the biggest range of map data in the galaxy because of, you know, Han and Lando being smugglers traveling to the Outer Rim stuff.
And last time we saw both of them, like, R2 was on the Millennium Falcon. So we've got, in a very strange way, maybe that's what Leia meant by we have everything we need.
maybe, who knows? Anything else about L3?
I'm good. Let's see. Did we cover everything? Yeah, I think we got everything.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about L3, just as closing, is I love the design of the droid. I think as a droid, like, her design is just absolutely phenomenal.
I also think droid mocap is, like, the way of the future. Because, like, her and also K2. Who's the dude from K2? Yeah, both of them were mocap, right?
Yeah, they're both mocap. Yeah, and
so, could not tell. I was like, how did they do this? Like, it was impressive. I love the idea of dressing up Anthony Daniels in a costume. Like, that's always forever and always going to be the best way to do it. But, like, droid mocap looks really good.
Yeah, I will say that's definitely it. Now, BB-8 and R2 being actual on-set robots, I think those are really important for those types of characters.
Sure, definitely.
But yeah. I definitely think mocap for the walking droids that... Like, when you look at something like not a protocol droid that's obviously Anthony Daniels in the plastic suit, but like K2SO, like he was this really stocky body, small head, and scrawny legs and arms. Like, that's not something you can put somebody in. And I think mocap is perfect. Like, with L3, the neck and the head is so far detached from the body that, like, that would be an interesting thing to try to have on set. Like, I think mocap is definitely the way of the future for these unique looking droids that you believe they would interact in the Star Wars universe. So definitely I agree with you on that. Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/Resistance Radio Podcast and check out the new After Dark episode me and Ben recorded just before this show. And as always, I am Mikey B.
And I'm Ben.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.